I'm Dominique.
And I'm Sylvia.
Welcome to the High Vibes and the Mind podcast,
where multicultural moms connect.
Hi, everyone. Today we're back on the podcast. We have a guest. Her name is Yvonne. She's 54. She's Scottish. And since January 2023, she has been an author and blogger. So she has a blog on Facebook called Growing Old Disgracefully. Since 2018, I will recommend you to check it out because it's a really, really funny page. Sylvia and I will love it. So her blog is an irreverent take on midlife and at 40 plus woman, although she has many lovely male followers. And so in 2020, she was encouraged by her blog readers to write a book called The Big Blue Jobby. It went very, very well, so she wrote some more. And a couple of years later, she walked away from a nice safe job to write full-time. So in this conversation today, we talk about our change of career in midlife. We also talk a lot about menopause and how, you know, age do rob our confidence and self-belief. Yvonne wants to say, give yourself permission to want something, step into the discomfort of doing something different, and build your cheerleading squad to keep you going. I thought that was a lovely message. CV and I, we had a great conversation with her. It was a really fun conversation. So let's hear it from Yvonne. Hi, everyone. We're back for an episode of High Vibes and a Mic. This is Veronique. I'm with Sylvia. Hi, Sylvia.
Hi. Hi, Veronique. How are you?
I'm good. Today we have a guest. Her name is Yvonne. How are you, Yvonne? From England, all the way from England.
Hi. It's nice to be here. Originally Scotland, but I'm in England at the moment.
Yeah, you're Scottish.
Yeah.
So, actually, I want to go to Scotland now because I've been watching that series on Stars, Outlander.
Oh, and I know, Jamie Fraser. Oh,
my God, I want to marry him. And
so, you know what's up the kilt, you know.
Yes, we'd like to know. And yeah, we've still been watching that series. We both want to go to England, to Scotland, and, you know, look around. Yeah. And all the greens and the castle and everything. It looks beautiful. So
it's an amazing country.
Yeah, that was a good commercial for the country for sure, that series.
Absolutely.
So Yvonne, can you tell us a little bit about you, your background?
As I said, I'm from Scotland, but I do live in England with my husband, and I've got two sort of grown up children. They'll always be children to me, and my dogs. I love my dogs. But I've been blogging on Facebook since 2018 as Growing Old Disgracefully. So that sort of takes up a bit of time. And the rest of my time, I'm an author. I write books. So currently a mystery series. And it's been rather a change of career for me, from a person who managed project managers into a full-time writer.
Okay, so let's start with the beginning. So you said that you're blogging on Facebook about aging disgracefully. So when did you start blogging? Was it during the pandemic and you're like, I want to do something? Or
yeah, well, with a blog, I just woke up one morning and just started. That was 2018. Mm. And all my friends had been saying to me, look, the things you post on Facebook, they're so funny, you should start a blog. And it was so outside of my comfort zone to do that, because I was quite a private person. And then I just thought, sometimes when enough people are telling you something, it's up to you to listen, isn't it? And so I woke up one morning in 2018 and just thought, right, I'll do it. I lay in bed and I Googled, how do you start a Facebook blog? And then I thought, oh, all right. Then I thought, well, what am I going to call it? And I just thought, well, Growing Old Disgracefully. I was 48 at the time and, you know, sort of in that perimenopausal zone. And I just thought, right, okay, well, I'm just going to carry on with the daft posts that I do for my friends, just where I laugh at life, but I'm just going to be doing it for other people. And that's that. The rest, they say, is, as they say, is history. So yeah, so and it was actually the readers of the blog who encouraged me during the pandemic to put all my blog posts into a book. And I thought, well, okay then. So half the book was blog posts, half the book was just narration about what was going on around me in the world in the pandemic. And I thought, right, shove that on Amazon, see what happens. I honestly thought I was going to sell a few copies and then just fade away. Well, 10,000 copies later,
Wow, 10,000.
I hadn't faded away. No, I couldn't believe it. So I thought, well, this is quite good. I might actually write something proper, and I'm using quotation marks when I say that because that book was proper, but I really wanted to write a story. So then I just started writing some other books, and here I am.
Some of the book I took are talking about so aging disgracefully and menopause and perimenopause.
Well, the blog is about that. The books have sort
Yeah.
of evolved into other things, but the blog is very much aimed at women sort of over 40-ish, who it's a humorous take on all the things that happen really in life. It's hard to explain sometimes because it's not about getting old, it's about appreciating life, whatever age you are. So it's not really about aging, and it's a lot of the time it's not directly about the menopause, but the menopause just naturally feeds into it because that's what I'm going through. So, you can kind of have the completely irrational things that you say and do sometimes that when your emotions are charged, forgetting everything, complete brain fog. And I will happily talk about that till the cows come home. I am so forgetful, it's just unreal. My poor husband, I actually feel sorry. But it's laughs at all those things that you have to find the humor in life. And if you don't, I think that if you don't it and you take it so seriously, then it life becomes much more difficult for you, I think. But mainly the thing that I love about my blog is that I've got people from all over the world who follow the blog, and the same sorts of things unite us. So there's no religion, no politics in the blog. They're not allowed. But we've all got the big dish that nobody likes to wash, haven't we? Every household owns the big dish that sits in the sink for 3 days, being ignored by everyone. We've all got those things, and you can kind of talk about just normal stuff about going to the supermarket and who you meet there, and the characters that are in the post office queue, and all those things that you can just talk about that are ordinary life. And I think I just see the funny side in them. Just for example, today we're out for a walk with the dogs. We're in the National Trust. It's quite middle class, it's quite nice, and we're walking around, and they've got this Easter egg hunt, and they've got all these spinny things which are obviously for children. And I handed the dog to my husband, and I said, "Hang on to him for a minute. I'm going to go and take a photograph of that." He said, "Why?" I said, "Because it would make an excellent drinking game." And that's just the kind of thing that you've got to laugh, but you've got to laugh at life. You've got to have a giggle where you can, I think.
I meet
But
you. I mean, both of us, we meet you right there with the fog, the brain fog, because between the mum brain fog and after the
yeah.
menopause brain fog, it's like we're not going to get rid of this for the next 20 years.
Oh, I know, I know.
Sylvia knows about that.
It's a real thing. Yeah, like forgetting things. I'm like, is this normal? What's going on? And I think I'm going through like maybe because I'm 46 now, so I'm pretty much getting started, you know, like with I think with already like
Yeah.
perimenopause. And for me, the fat first sign must be that because I'm just forgetting things all the time. So I'm like, what is that? Is this mom burnout? Is it like, am I too stressed? Is my schedule too busy? Or all of them above, you know, all of the options.
Yeah.
It's tough. And I'm like, what do I do not to forget? So, but it's good when we can talk about things like that because I feel like menopause or the same if you a woman goes through miscarriage or things like that, they don't like to talk about. And then when you enter menopause, nobody wants to talk about it either, you know? Like they kind
No,
of
I
like they
know.
all keep it to themselves and we should talk more.
We definitely should talk more. And one of the reasons we should talk more is that there are so many menopause symptoms that women aren't aware of. In fact, when I was in my late 40s, I went to see the doctor for something, and he wrote in the notes, "This perimenopausal woman, blah blah blah." I was like, "Perimenopausal? I've never heard of that. What's that?" Because nobody had ever told me. But they cover all sorts of things in schools, you know, where they teach you about your body and about life and, you know, being a good citizen, and I'm sure that schools in America are the same as the schools in the UK, where you get sex education and all those things. But nobody ever teaches young women about the menopause. And so we grow up and we don't know what's happening to us when we get into our 40s and 50s. I was coming out in hives. I was so itchy and I didn't know at the time. It was only years, a few years later, that I realized that was the menopause. It wasn't me. I was practically eating antihistamines to try and get rid of these itches, but it was all menopausal. Even when I went to see my GP about various things like the itchy skin, none of them ever said, "Oh, it's just the menopause. It's just perimenopause. Don't worry about it." So I wish people had talked about it more when I was growing up, which is why it's so important to talk about it now.
It's like they don't know about it sometimes, or because even at school we had an episode about that. They don't even say about fertility also for women. You know, that's very important not to wait too long, you know, to have children. And after we don't tell us about perimenopause either. It's like
No.
we go through all those stages clueless, and we don't talk with each other about it. So I'm happy we have the
No.
internet now.
No. But it's in the workplace as well. It's so hard because lots of women they feel like they can't go and talk to their bosses about it. And especially if you've got a male boss. And I mean, I recall I had particularly heavy periods, and I symptom of perimenopause, but I didn't know that at the time. And I would sometimes soak through everything. And there was one day when I had a male boss, and I had to ask to go home and change because it was literally running down my legs underneath my trousers. And that was just mortifying, having to ask. And he didn't get it. He didn't understand. And he said, "Well, could you just finish this thing that you were doing first?" And I didn't feel strong enough to just tell him to get lost. And that's what I should have done. And believe me, I am being very, very polite because I get lost is a euphemism for what I really want to tell him now.
Oh, I get it. I completely understand because I'm in the same case right now. Heavy period and migraines when it happens. So yeah, I know exactly what you're talking
So what do you think? What kind of advice would you give to women that are just starting, you know, like going through perimenopause and menopause? What did you tell them, like from your perspective?
Well, talk to people about it. Do talk to people about it. If you're a bit shy about talking to people about it, go and have a look on Facebook or online, there are loads and loads of places to get information. I suppose it's understanding that that's what you're going through in the first place. I think these days we are far better and far more educated and far better at spreading the word than we were 10 years ago. But my advice would be as well, see a GP and ask your GP, could this be menopause? Because lots of women, and I know this from my blog and from responses that what women have told me on my blog, lots of women are prescribed antidepressants because their head's all over the place. They don't know what's going on. They don't understand what's happening to them. And they're diagnosed as being depressed. But they're not. They're not actually depressed. It's menopause that's happening to them. They're perimenopausal and they're given antidepressants, which are not going to work. They'd be better off on HRT or something else. There are various options. So I would say when you speak to your GP and you're of that age, actually say, could this be menopause? Because doctor, sorry, I'm saying GP, that means doctor in the UK. If you speak to your doctor, lots of doctors aren't very well educated about it either, because it's very often not even covered in medical school. So,
And
yeah.
I'm sorry, so you mentioned HRT. So for some of the audience who don't know, is it you're talking about hormone replacement, right?
Yeah, sorry, hormone replacement therapy. Now, I would not even dare to give anyone any medical advice. So, hormone replacement therapy is one thing, but it is not suitable for everyone. And I know that on my blog, lots of the ladies have exchanged tips on herbal remedies, that sort of thing as well. I've got Mirena Coil, which is it's to prevent pregnancy, that type of coil, but what it does is it releases hormones over 5 years, and that actually helps with perimenopausal symptoms too. It helps with heavy periods, that sort of thing. But again, I think see your physician. Don't, do your research, but don't rely on what everyone sees. See your physician and actually make sure that you're talking about menopause with your physician and not just waiting for them to talk to you about it first, because they really often don't know very much at all. You'll probably know more than them.
I'm sure. And we're pretty lucky nowadays that we can actually have access to all this information, because from my mom and grandma's time, like there was it just like, okay, we are going through this thing and feeling hot. I remember her complaining about feeling like really hot, really like all that discomfort. But that was about it. Like you kind of like ignore it even. You hear it like, oh, okay, yeah. But I'm sure they had no one to talk about it, no one, even from the family, the relatives, cousins. It's just like, okay, you're supposed to have these hot flashes and some just weird symptoms that I don't even know what were the other symptoms because they would not talk about it. And then that's it, move on, So thank God nowadays we can have more access to, have more discussion about it and find ways to stay healthy. And what do you do to keep yourself healthy too during this time, this transition that we are going through?
Well, at the moment, I'm trying to lose. Well, I'm not trying to lose weight. I am losing weight, but I'm aiming for health. So I'm trying to eat the right things, lots of healing, nice protein balanced with some carbs and keep the fat low, that sort of thing. I'm trying to eat right. I'm not always successful, mind you. I'm trying to do a lot of walking at the moment as well to try and keep my joints strong. I take so many vitamins, it's unreal.
I'm the same way too. All kinds of vitamins.
I
Crazy.
know. I know, but I think you've got to do that because it's the things like vitamin D, they're really good for your joints. So that's tons of vitamins. The right foods, the right exercise. But you know what? Everything in moderation as well, because you need to give yourself a little bit of time off. You do need to be kind to yourself, kick back, enjoy a glass of wine or, you
Oh,
know,
yeah.
a slice of cake. I love wine and cake.
Yeah, no, don't tell me not to drink my wine. It's not gonna happen.
I
So,
know.
and you have two dogs, so I'm sure it's easy for you to go for a walk every day because you have to go out, right?
I love my dogs, and
Yeah, so you have to go out, so it's a good excuse to go and do your walk
oh
also when
yeah.
you don't feel
I like.
motivated, right?
Yeah, I mean it's hard because my job, because I'm now like my job's writing, I'm quite sedentary, so I don't, you know, I'm sitting on my bum far too much, and so I'm really conscious of getting out there for an hour or so with the dogs, walk a few miles. Today we walked up a hill. It was 3/4 of a mile long, and it was a hill, and
Oh,
it never stopped.
pushing yourself.
where is the end of the
Yeah.
I know, but it's fun. Once you're done, you're like, okay, I did it, right? It feels good once you're
Yeah.
done.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, the trick is to pick a shot, pick a walk that's got a tea shop at the end. That's the trick. You've still got to
Yourself.
do that. What is the point of not replacing all those calories, all those burned off
Oh.
calories with some nice cake? Of
Okay.
course.
What's the point of that? Yeah. You gotta have a reward after it.
Best motivation ever.
Yes.
So, Yvonne, since you changed careers from product management to writing, what advice would you give to women who want to make the same transition too? Like just doing something completely different. How do they would they get it started? What do you think?
Yeah, I think a lot of women, especially, you know, as we're sort of kind of in our 40s, 50s, 60s, we kind of doing anything different really pushes us outside our comfort zone. So we're not comfortable with doing new things often, and especially the idea of a major life change, like a career change, really pushes us outside our comfort zone. But if you think back to when you were in your 20s, you were constantly outside your comfort zone. Your comfort zone was where you were almost one, you know, where you were sort of standing outside almost 100% of the time. And somewhere along those decades, that kind of got lost, and now you're not comfortable if you're pushed to do something different. So I would say to people, be brave, do step outside your comfort zone. Try it with different things. Because every time you try it, you get a little bit braver, and then when you eventually come to do something like make a career change, you're fine. You know you'll be fine. You may not be comfortable, but you know you'll be fine. And yeah, I think that's quite important. And the other thing I would say to people is build your cheerleading squad, because I had a lot of people telling me you can do this. And it was my blog readers who told me to write that first book, and I never would have had they not nagged me to do it.
Yeah.
Sorry, I mean encouraged me to do it. But I am so grateful to them for doing that. I've also got a load of friends who read my books before they're published, and they keep me right. And I really, really always appreciate their support so much. My husband, some of my family members, and all those people who are constantly telling me you can. It goes back to what I said much earlier, where I said sometimes you just have to listen. If other people are telling you it often enough, it's up to you to listen. And so all those cheerleaders, they help build your self-belief, build your confidence. And I think self-belief is something else that gets eroded as we get older. When you're 20, you can take on the world. When you're 40, 50, 60, you're there going, well, what if I fail? What if it all goes wrong? And realistically, what is the worst that could happen if it all goes wrong? you find another job. That's the worst that could happen. But yeah, it feels big to change careers later on in life, but you can do it. And I think it helps to surround yourself with people who are on your side.
Yeah, I'm sure it's easier also if you know there's a demand, because for you, you were just writing as for fun, right, on Facebook. And your friend
yeah.
were like, oh, you need to
my
do,
hobby.
Make a, yeah, this is great. You need to make a book out of it. So
yeah.
even, you know, better, you know, motivation.
Mm, yeah. Yeah. And I just feel very fortunate that so many people told me I could. And I went on a year-long development program for women, a career development program through my job. And that was fantastic, because what that program did for me was give me permission to want things. They kept saying, exercise, you want muscle. And all that means is that you are entitled to want things. As women, we often almost apologize
yeah.
for things. You know, if I send an email and I'm going, I'm really sorry, you know, sorry to bother you, but, and actually, no, I'm entitled to 5 minutes of your time to read my email. It's taken me a while to write this message. So don't apologize. Go for what you want. And you're entitled to want things. There's nothing wrong with wanting things. And again, as women, I think we're almost sometimes programmed to put everyone else first. But there is nothing wrong with putting you first. It doesn't mean that you don't care about everyone else. You can put you first. So, yeah, I hope some of that maybe rings a little bell for someone out there and helps them get a little bit of courage to go and pursue what they want.
I'm sure it will.
Yes, yeah. Some great tips, because it's hard, but we can do it. Yeah, we are doing, Veronique and I. It's just deciding to like start a podcast and just putting ourselves out there, which is something I never felt comfortable with like social media and everything. I was like, oh, no way, no one's gonna look at my face. I'm gonna write something like the imposter syndrome that they talk about. You think like nobody's gonna enjoy what you're doing.
Of course, I
it's
know.
Just So like, you know what? Leave all this behind, all this limiting stuff, and you can do it. Yeah,
I
and
know.
It's fun,
when
right?
First... Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it is. I mean, I suffer from imposter syndrome all the time. When I see my books next to people. Other people's books, and I think, but they're proper authors. What are my books doing there?
You must be so proud, because you're an author. I mean, you must be so proud. I wanted
to write a book.
Yeah, right. I mean, I wish I could write a book. I would love to write a book. So talking about your book, so the book collection that you created, the Loser Club, did you create this the collection? Did you call it like that, or it existed already?
No, I created Losers Club, the murder mystery series.
Okay.
So I'm writing book 8 just now.
Okay. I just want to ask about the title. Why the Loser Club?
Oh, because
when you call it like that.
Right.
Is there a story, funny story behind?
Yeah. Well, I wanted to write a book, a mystery, and there had to be a group that had to solve the mysteries, so I wanted some amateur detectives to solve the mysteries, and I needed a group, and I wanted a group of disparate people. I wanted to create a really warm, friendly environment around them, all that sort of thing, because the action takes place on a small Scottish island, you see. And I think it was my sister who suggested a diet club. And I said, oh, that's a really good idea. It's a really good idea. And so she suggested that. And I said, oh, we could call it Losers Club. And that came up in the book. It took me ages. And I actually went on to I think it was my blog. And I asked people for suggestions for the names for the club. But I came up with Losers Club and I liked that and I was happy with that. But I did use one of the suggestions as well. And in the book, there's a bit of a backstory where she gets her kids to design all the logo and the literature and everything for for this diet club that she's setting up. And she's got a very sensible name in mind, and there's a complete miscommunication, and it's her children who actually christen it Losers Club by accident. So
Okay. And so
yeah.
all the books are mystery books.
The Losers Club series is, yes, there's another book called Frock in Hell, and I am saying that very, very carefully.
Yeah,
I love
I was
it. You're talking about that name. I was like, oh
yeah. I was going to ask you, is this about your life? Because you said in your blog, I think that once you were in a train, you were like, what's going to happen if I just stay in there?
yeah.
Oh, yes.
I did. Yeah, I did. I always wondered what would happen if I just didn't get off the train at my stop and I just carried on and I disappeared. What would actually happen? And then when I was thinking about a story, I thought, that's a story I'm going to tell. I'm going to find out what happens. So that's great. It's about this woman
Okay.
called Katie Frock who just has a massive midlife crisis and she just disappears. She goes off to London, builds a whole new life, leaving her husband and her grown-up
Oh my
daughter
God.
back in the north of England to wondering what the heck is going on.
Okay, that's
But
interesting. That's
she needs
intriguing.
it. She needs it.
She needs a
So
break.
yeah. And it's a funny story. It's a poignant story. It's got some fantastic characters in it. But that was my first attempt at writing a proper book, if you see what I mean. But yeah. I'm busy.
Well,
I'm just about to move on to a police procedural book now, which is going to be totally different from anything I've ever written before,
I
because I
don't. I can't
just.
even. Yeah, I can't even imagine writing a mystery book. Or where do you find, the information? Or do you just take classes? Or you just come up with stuff? Because
No, it just comes out my head.
really,
I
wow.
sometimes like I have to do a bit of research because my husband came up behind me one day when I was writing. And he leaned over and he looked at my computer screen and he said, oh, this is what you get up to, do you? And on the I looked and on the screen was synonyms for boobs.
For boobs.
Oh, that's my research.
That's weird. Yeah.
No, I just sit down. I don't plan. I just sit down, start writing a story, sometimes have a vague idea, sometimes have no idea at all. But I know what the ending's going to be. Sometimes I just know what the murder's going to be. But I just sit down and write, and I don't really know the storyline at all. It just comes out as I'm going along. And it is just like telling somebody a story very, very slowly over the course of a few months. And then it's done. Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. I love mystery books, it's
Yeah,
really
it's a mystery to
nice.
me what is going to happen in my own books.
So where can we find your books? Are they available
They're
on
on
Amazon?
yeah, they're on Amazon. The audiobooks are on all the various audiobook platforms. My books are all on Amazon, and I think you can buy them from normal stores or anywhere else as well, really.
Okay.
The e-books are only on Kindle. They're not on any other platforms, but everything else is available everywhere.
Awesome.
Of course. Yeah. Of course, we give all the information in the show notes about you have a website and you have also a Facebook group about your
Yeah,
books
yeah.
and also aging disgracefully.
I have,
Such
yeah,
yeah,
it's a
got
fun group. It's a fun page,
mine.
Facebook
Yeah.
page. Love it.
It is a nice Facebook page and a nice crowd, and I have loads of absolutely lovely ladies from America, and well, loads from all over the world really. And it is always great to see them all chatting with each other, and I know that they're from all over, And it's just great to see little friendships being formed and things in the group. It's fantastic. So yeah.
Is there anything you want to add? Some maybe a question we didn't ask? Something you want to share with the listeners?
I can't think of anything off the top of my head. I sort of read your
So,
questions and
when is your next book going to be ready? Because I saw that there is
oh
something coming
yeah.
soon, the next one.
I'm useless at promoting myself, aren't I?
Go ahead. It's your time. It's your
Absolutely
place.
rubbish, honestly.
It's
So
okay. I think it's natural.
okay. There is another Losers Club coming out this summer. It'll be out May or June, I expect. It's going to be called Game of Trust, and it is loosely based on, you know, the do you watch The Traitors? I know you have The Traitors in America because there's an American version.
Traitors.
There's a
Ring a bell. I watch a lot
okay,
of series though, but this one no, doesn't ring a bell.
it's like a reality game show, and both the
Oh.
American versions and the British versions are both in a castle in Scotland.
Oh no, I don't know that game.
That's where the action takes place, and it's all about betraying your fellow contestants to win a prize. So I've kind of thought, well, that's a really good idea for a book, but obviously I can't use The Traitors because that's probably copyrighted to the nth degree. So I've made up my own game show, and it's going to be at the castle on my Scottish island. And there's an art thief who is planning to infiltrate the cast. So the police have had intelligence that an art thief is planning to infiltrate the cast of the show. And the local policewoman she's out of action. So she recruits a couple of the members of Losers Club to go in undercover. And
Ooh.
while they're in there undercover in the castle as game show contestants, someone is murdered. And that's the premise of the book. So, and
Right.
beyond that, who knows what will happen?
Do you know
Better
what's gonna happen?
read a
No.
book.
Yeah.
I'm still
Oh,
Yes,
I'm still got to I've still got to write it all. I haven't finished
yeah,
writing.
but
But
I
yeah,
don't know about
I've
the
got that, and I've got a police procedural that I'm writing, which is
Okay.
about Inspector Hunter Deed is his name, and he works for Police Scotland, which is a police force in Scotland, that's the name of them. And he is solving the murder of a young woman found in standing stones, you know, like Stonehenge. But we have loads of those in Scotland. And so she's found murdered in these standing stones. And at the same time, he's got a kind of mission as well, which none of his team know about, to uncover the identity of a corrupt policeman. So I do know what's going to happen in that book. I've got a very good outline of exactly what's going to happen in that book. But it's taken me a little bit longer to write because this is a new genre for me, and a new style of different style of writing from the Losers Club. So I'm just taking my time and trying very, very hard to make it the best it can be.
Well, I think soon we're going to see your books on TV. They're going to turn it, you know, as a series or something. And we can
Oh, I
maybe,
don't.
you know,
That would be
that's how it
great.
starts.
No,
You write
that would
books.
be great.
Yeah, but then after they adapt it, you know, for TV, you don't know. That's what
Never
happened.
know. Well, yeah. I mean that there has been some discussion about that. So, and just
Knew it.
that sort of thing is a long, long way off. So,
I can imagine.
I'm not counting my chickens on that one before that. We'll just have to wait and see.
I'm sure you have to be careful with all the contracts and stuff over there, for sure.
Yeah.
All right, Sylvia, anything to add before we go? It was really
No, I
a
just
fun
wanted to say
conversation.
thank you. And you are so creative. Like, you write so well on your Facebook page, and I can't imagine how great your books are. So, and you're funny too. So it's like this mixture of all the fiction and the funny side. I'm sure like people are gonna love it. So I want to check those out too. So thank you so much for being here with us.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me. It's been brilliant. Thank you.
Thank you for coming, Yvonne. And we wish you all the best. Don't work too hard until May, you know, until the release of the last book. So it's like you're writing two books at the same time. So
yeah,
a lot of work. Well, thank you for coming. And you guys, we see you next Monday.
Next Monday. Oh, and everyone leave everything on the show notes, all your information, your blog, your where to find your books, your website. And yes, and then it's coming up soon, guys. So stay tuned.
Thank you.
All right. Bye. Thanks. Take care.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you for tuning in to High Vibes and a Mic. Until next time, laugh hard, stay silly, and never forget to bring your sense of humor. Please follow us on Instagram, TikTok, and Pinterest.